We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is Kits and Wagers. I'm Adam Zdroik, joined by Chris Owen to talk Game Week 28 in the Premier League. We're talking about three matches, of course. We're going to be getting to Liverpool against Manchester City, one of the biggest matches of the season. You know, all these matches seem like the biggest match in 10 years or something like that. But really, these matches obviously happen every season. But what do you think about the size of this match in terms of the season? Do you think this is the biggest match, or we'll just call it a top five match in terms of importance?
I think biggest match to date. I think there will be more big matches. Like, you know, at this end of the season, every next match is your biggest match. So, you know, City have Liverpool and vice versa this weekend. Next, I think it's in two weekends, Arsenal, Man City. So, and then there, I think both teams are going to play Villa, or City and Liverpool will play Villa at one point. There's Tottenham, I think, on a couple of these teams. There's the North London Derby later. Like, so they're all big, you know. This one, obviously, to date is no bigger, but we've got, you mentioned every season, like, there's a big game, but this one feels more significant. I feel like in the past, maybe 8 to 10 years, we haven't really had a three-horse race in terms of title, the title race. And this season we have three teams within what are the 2 points. Arsenal, of course, have Brentford this weekend, and they could go top before this City Liverpool game on Sunday. So this is definitely the biggest game to date, and I think there will be more big games as well this season. And I'm excited to talk about it, man. I feel like this morning I woke up before my alarm clock. Had the bets in last night. I'm like manic already. I'm, you know, second cup of coffee. We're ready to rock and roll here this morning.
I woke up before my alarm clock as well, except there was a 9-month-old screaming in my ear. So I didn't have the same attitude as you did.
Yeah, that's fair. I don't have a 9-month-old in my house.
One thing I just wanted to bring up, you mentioned Manchester City's schedule. I'll give some Manchester City fans props, because I haven't really heard too many people complaining about a kind of crazy schedule they're in the middle of right now. So they're the Manchester Derby at Liverpool, and then they got home against Arsenal, home against Aston Villa. So maybe the toughest four-match stretch of any team in the league this season. I mean, obviously we'd have to look through all 20 teams and their 38 games, but it seems like it's got to be up there in terms of a difficult stretch.
I think Burnley started the season with like City and then like Liverpool and somebody else, like to begin their return to the Premier League, which is pretty tough for them. But yeah, this, you look at this and you know, they take 9 points, and you got to believe that's a title for them. But yeah, three incredibly tough teams to face.
Yeah, and that's why they're -115. And go to the RotoWire betting pages over on soccer. Manchester City -115. You can get that FanDuel. Liverpool are +220. And then Arsenal are +350, which you can get at DraftKings. That is to win the title. So Arsenal kind of looking on the outside in right now. But again, I guess this is something we can use the fixture, the schedule up on RotoWire as well to look at, see what Arsenal has. As you mentioned, they still have at Manchester City. They got at Brighton, at Tottenham, at Manchester United. So they have a couple, they have a decent amount of difficult upcoming matches. That's probably built into this plus 350 a little bit, even though Liverpool, Manchester City play this weekend. But before we get to that game, we got a couple more matches to talk about. Again, check out the betting pages here. I'm going to be using that if you're watching on YouTube or Twitter. But we got a somewhat of a relegation battle here. Crystal Palace are home against Luton Town. Crystal Palace are on 28 points. Luton Town are on 20 points. Luton Town are in the final relegation spot. So Nottingham Forest is 4 points above them. And then Luton Town are 7 points above Burnley and Sheffield United. Burnley and Sheffield United, maybe two of the worst Premier League teams in the past 5 years, maybe past 10 years. I know everyone always brings up the Derby County season. That was arguably the worst season ever in the Premier League. And Sheffield United are getting close with how they look. But Luton Town have played well at times this season. In the odds, not really seeing it in the odds. Crystal Palace minus 130 to win this one. Luton Town plus 350. The draw is plus 285. And again, you can look at the line movement on the page, but the line movement has gone towards Crystal Palace for whatever reason. They were minus 105 a couple weeks ago. Now they're minus 130 to win. And over 2.5 goals is minus 125. Under 2.5 goals, plus 105. Injury-wise, doesn't sound like Luton Town's really getting anyone back. They got a decent amount of injuries on their back line in addition to leading goal scorer Adebayo being out. I believe Jordan Ayew is fine with his hip issue he went off with last week. But otherwise, they're pretty much the same as well. So Crystal Palace, bounce back. I think this is only technically the second match under Glasner. Bounce back for them at home. The home debut for Glasner, I guess.
Yeah, they've kind of bounced back a little bit here. I mean, 3-0 over Burnley your last time out. That's at home. That's a great result. I kind of compare the Burnley and Luton Town for obvious reasons. They both are, you know, incapable of defending. You mentioned Luton Town's injuries and them not really getting anyone back. I Luton Town from an entertainment value is amazing. They're super fun to watch. All their games are worthwhile to tune into, but they just cannot defend at all. Like, they gave up 3 to Aston Villa. They gave up 6 to City, 4 to Liverpool. You know, every game that they're in there's a ton of goals. And at least they're fine in the back of the net too, which hasn't seemed to have been a problem for them. But I think Crystal Palace, I mean, Eze should start, I believe. They're still missing Elise, but I think in general they have the IU is a question mark. I don't know. I think he's fine. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's a good addition for them too. I think Crystal Palace, new manager, you know, they're getting kind of that confidence back a little bit. They're out from, you know, no shade at Roy, but they're out from under the Roy watch here. So we might see a little bit more attacking perspective. But I love this, you know, we set out with 3 games every week and I kind of just go through each game, list a bunch of bets that I think are interesting, and then kind of circle back to the ones that I think I would go with. What I looked at the list of bets for this particular game, and all of them are like over goals. You know, like, I think you look at these two teams and eight out of the last 9 Premier League games for Luton Towns have been over 2.5 goals, and the last 7 out of 9 have been over 3.5 goals. Kind of applies to Crystal Palace as well. 7 of the last 9 matches for Palace have been over 2.5. I don't think Luton Town are capable maybe they could take a point here. I don't think they're capable of winning this game. So you couple the fact that we're probably going to see a lot of goals here, at least over 2.5 is what I would say, which is fair. Minus 125. I'm taking Crystal Palace double chance over 2.5 and the over 2.5. So it is the same game parlay. That's minus 110. If you are
plus 105,
plus 105 now. Okay, nice. We had a little movement since.
Well, as everyone knows, the automated game parlays is what you call it on DraftKings. They have worse odds. If you put together a single game parlay with Crystal Palace double chance and over 2.5 goals, it is plus 105. It was actually plus 115 this morning. And then, I don't know, an hour ago, it moved down to plus 105. So someone was reading the Slack message that you sent me, and they bet a bunch of money on it. And then it dropped from plus 115 to plus 105. So
Nice. Well, that's the Adam difference right there. So yeah, +105. We love to hear that. For all the reasons I listed, a lot of goals. I think Crystal Palace are, you know, I think they're going to take at least one point here, if not all three. Interesting enough, you can get the Crystal Palace double chance, and I wonder if it's higher over +200 now. Crystal Palace double chance over 3.5 is +195. When I looked last night, it's probably up above that now. But I like goals, and I like Palace to take at least a point.
Palace take at least a point. Yeah, it's hard to argue that one. I'd say just going into this one is just a little more difficult than it would have been if Roy Hodgson was managing here. I'm still kind of wait and see in terms of Glasner as the manager, see how this team plays. Because so that first game where, okay, Glasner, they used the Glasner formation. He wasn't their technical manager, but you got to assume that he was speaking to someone to mix up the formation and the team. So they dominated Burnley in that first match. And then the game against Tottenham, they were basically dominated as they hit a free kick. And then they allowed three goals in the final 15 minutes or whatever it was. I think they allowed the most goals in the final 10, 20 minutes of any team in the league. Just a sign of tired legs or, I don't know, other things, I guess, go into that. But so I'm kind of still uncertain of how I want to bet these Crystal Palace games. Under Glasner, I was originally in line with just more goals because of Glasner. It's not Hodgson anymore. So I do like your bet. Makes sense. Over 2.5 with Palace double chance. But I'm just going to go corners. You know what? If I don't know what to do, if I don't know how exactly this game's going to go, I do think it's going to be more open than if Roy Hodgson was managing this. So I think it's going to be open. Whether Crystal Palace get a bunch of corners or Luton Town get a bunch of corners, doesn't matter. I'm going over 10.5 corners at -105. So if you look back at the couple matches in this 3-4-3, 3-4-2-1 formation for Crystal Palace, I think they had 12 corners against Burnley, maybe aided a little bit by a red card, but still home against Burnley, 12 corners. And then at Tottenham, Tottenham had 12 corners against them. So I think there's going to be corners in this one. Luton Town, they already play up and down a little bit. And I think at home, Glasner's debut, technical debut, I think there's going to be corners. So over 10.5 corners, -105.
Any lean on who you think might rack up a few more? I'm just looking at the odds right now. Like, is it a Crystal Palace over the Luton Town over 4.5 corners is +100. I kind of love that. The over 5.5 for Palace is -145. So
I kind of view it a little bit like we talked about Aston Villa Luton Town last week, wasn't it? Was that game? Yeah, it was. I think I took over 10.5 corners in that game. And I mentioned during the show, it might be you could try taking over 4.5 or over 5 corners for both teams because I think both teams are going to get corners. And I think it ended up being like 8 and 6 corners for those teams. So I think it's going to be kind of similar. It's just how these Luton Town matches go. No matter, as long as they're not playing Arsenal or Manchester City where they're just, you know, sitting back, can't possess the ball kind of thing. I think that against a lot of these teams, they push the ball forward enough that they're getting corners. So I think, yeah, you could look at, again, that both these teams getting 5+ corners. I think that is an option here.
Nice.
Not to mention, I mean, we talked about the table, like Luton Town are 4 points back. They really need points the rest of the way. I think we talked about this last season when I was like, okay, this team really needs to go. Whoever it was, Leicester City, Watford, Leeds, maybe not Watford. It was a Watford.
No, it was Southampton, Leeds, and
yeah, that's right.
Every season blends together now.
I think we looked at it last season. It was like, okay, these teams need to push. They need points, and it didn't really happen. But it does seem like this Luton Town team is maybe a team that will kind of take. They already kind of, you know, take that strategy in getting forward. So maybe they're gonna press a little more than they have been. So we'll see if that bears out to fruition here. So there's 5 matches on Saturday. That is the first game on, I guess we got Everton, Manchester United as the early one on Saturday. The other 2 matches we're talking about are on Sunday. First up, we got Aston Villa, our home against Tottenham. This one, Chris wanted to talk about this one because we got a top of the table clash here. This is for
top five.
Top five. Well, yeah, top five clash. For the top four spot here. Aston Villa are up 5 points, but they have a game in hand here over Tottenham. So this one will come down pretty big. And I guess we still don't know the extra Champions League spot because we're still waiting on European competition. I believe the Premier League is actually third on the list behind Serie A and Bundesliga. La Liga, is it? Okay.
Because they still have Barca's in, Real's in. I guess Sociedad just went out. But, yeah, it's up for grabs right now, basically. And EPL had lost United. And, I mean, still have a bunch of teams. And looks like they'll lose Brighton as well. Yeah, it all has to do with, like, how these teams finish it at the end of the season. Europa and Europa Conference League and Champions League. And
And it will depend on Arsenal and Manchester City as well.
Exactly, yep.
But Aston Villa home are plus 140 to win. The odds haven't moved too much. Tottenham are plus 165 to win. The draw is plus 300. And this one is expecting a few more goals. Over 3.5 goals, minus 120. Under 3.5 goals, minus 105. We got news this morning that Pedro Porro has been training and is an option. So is he going to start? Is he not going to start? That's the main question for Tottenham. Otherwise, Emerson has been starting for them, and that's the main issue. Richarlison is still out. Jacob Ramsey probably not going to be available. They still have a decent amount of injuries. Aston Villa played, or they in Amsterdam on Thursday, so that is another thing. They rotated a few spots. Like John McGinn didn't start that one.
They played Pau Torres for 45, and then he came off a half.
Yeah, he also hasn't been 100% healthy. Luka Dina started at left back instead of Mourinho, that kind of thing. Morgan Rogers, young forward they brought in from Middlesbrough, he started as well. He actually could start over Zaniolo. I'm not sure who's going to start in that spot. Could be Moussa Diaby as well, or Rogers or Zaniolo. So something there to take the spot of Jacob Ramsey in the Aston Villa 11, but Aston Villa have been, for the most part of the season, really, really good at home this season. But they've fallen a little off, I'll say, in recent weeks, recent months. But how do you think this one plays out here? Aston Villa home, I pulled up the record, 10 wins, 1 draw, 2 losses, a plus 20 goal differential in 13 home matches this season.
Yeah, Villa, you mentioned, been really, really strong at home so far. The two losses prior, they lost to Newcastle and Manchester United 3-1 and 2-1 end of January and then end of February as well. But prior to that, they had been immaculate at home. They had not lost a match. That included like a pretty dominating win over City. I think that was like end of January or mid-January maybe. But yeah, they kind of fell off the wagon there a little bit. But, you know, they had a nice get-right game against Nottingham Forest at Villa Park recently where they won that one 4-2. There's going to be a theme here with my bets this week, I realize. And that is we're in one of the, if not the highest scoring season in Premier League history, one of the highest scoring seasons in league history. The odds, you know, certainly reflect that as we've gotten, you know, 28 game weeks in. But that being said, couple the fact that Villa are really good at home, you know, I and the fact that Tottenham have this propensity to play up high, very high line, concede goals, but also score goals. I love an over bet here. I looked at a bunch of them. Crazy that you have to go to over 3.5 to get decent odds on this game. It's minus 115. So you're not, I don't see a ton of value there. If I'm hitting an over 3.5, I want it to be like plus 150, you know, at least or something in that region. All that said, I love Villa at home. I think they can take points. Tottenham, obviously, a tough team. Typically, in any game week, this would be our game of the week. But, you know, given the City-Liverpool match, this is probably the second best game. Going to play a huge role in European places as well. Anyways, I'm on Aston Villa double chance, over 2.5, minus 125. The exact same game parlay. Maybe it's better, too. Exact same game parlay that I gave in the last match. But I love the overs, and I love Villa at home this week. I think that this is the play. I am a little weary of, you know, Tottenham away has been, they've been okay. They drew Everton, they drew United, they lost to Brighton. They were, again, able to get past Nottingham Forest, and they're able to take points, but I just don't know if they'll be able to beat Villa at home.
Yeah, I've been trying to, as you're speaking, I've been trying to find a reason for my bet. I don't have a reason for my bet. I might kind of opposite for you, though.
We love to see it. Embrace debate.
I'm a contrarian bettor is my main reason here. I'm going under 3.5 goals at -110. And I think we can get, I think this is a 2-1 game is what I'm going to say here. And I think we're getting value a little bit with under 3.5. And I think we could actually get both of our bets to hit here if it is 2-1. So this Tottenham team has been hit or miss. You know, they don't really have any other competition to worry about. Maybe, yeah, they're still in the FA Cup. Maybe not. No, they lost. No, they have no other competition to worry about. Yeah. That's right. Tottenham have nothing else to worry about here. You look at their last few matches. This is their last few matches. They got back, you know, they got back Son. They got back, they added Timo Werner.
Udogi, Poro might be back.
They got back Van de Ven from his injury as well. Basuma and Sarr were out for a month or so, so the last match they were down 1-0 against Crystal Palace for the first 77 minutes, and then Crystal Palace made a pretty bad defense mistake, and then things just went off the rails for them. The one goal allowed again was the SA free kick, which kind of came out of nothing. The Wolverhampton match, two goals, they lost 2-1. Two of those goals were Joe Gomez, I think one was off a corner, one was off maybe a counter or something. So just a couple of random goals there. 2-1 against Brighton. Before that, they needed a stoppage time winner for one of Chris's bets to hit on that one. So I just don't think their scoring is at peak levels right now. So that's one part of it. I am worried that, you know, you mentioned the high line, how they're going to press a little bit. That's going to open up for counters for Ollie Watkins. But, I mean, we look at this Aston Villa lineup, and, okay, Ollie Watkins, Leon Bailey. You know, whether it's Zaniolo or Rodgers or Diaby has kind of fallen off a little bit. He was getting a bunch of time early in the season, but he really hasn't clicked yet in the Premier League. And then you also have Tielemans in here. So this attacking lineup, just I don't think is – also, I don't think it's at peak levels either. So you got two teams that they've been in high-scoring matches, both of them, this season. But I just don't think their attacks are at peak levels right now. You combine that with Tottenham are almost 100% defensively. Aston Villa got back Ezri Konsa from his injury last week. They're getting a couple of guys back, fully healthy at left back. Diego Carlos was on the bench Thursday as well. So they're getting closer to defensive health. So I think you got healthy defenses. You got attacks that aren't really clicking on all levels. So that's my reasoning. Under 3.5 goals, -110. You're not sold yet.
I disagree, but I mean, you look at Tottenham winning here, 2-2 to Everton, 2-2 to United, 4-2 loss to Brighton.
You're ignoring the last three results, though.
2-0 to Nottingham Forest that they won, 3-3 against City. These are all away matches, mind you. And then, you know, look at Villa. They won 4-2 at home. They had lost 2-1 to United, 3-1 to Newcastle, 3-2 against Burnley. They did have a 1-1 draw with Sheffield United. That's a lot of goals. And then you couple that with, like, I mean, Tottenham, very good at scoring goals away, too. I think they have to be one of the top teams in terms of the table of away goals. I think they're fourth behind the three top teams. So I guess, you know, in a perfect world, we get a 2-1 here.
That's what it was in the first round.
Okay. So ideally that's what we get here, but I mean, under 3.5, that's good value. In the same way that over 3.5 isn't worth it, in my opinion, maybe I guess the under 3.5 is a little bit more easier to achieve here. But yeah, we need a 3-1, a 2-1. Aston Villa win maybe, and we could both come out alive.
The last time these teams played, this was November 26th. Tottenham started Ben Davies and Emerson at center back. Lo Celso started as a defensive midfielder. Betancur was probably one of his first starts, only made it 32 minutes. And Brian Heal started on the left wing for him. Meanwhile, Matty Cash started as a midfielder in this one. It's just some interesting things when you look at prior results. But
yeah, that's
Tottenham revenge. I'll say Tottenham revenge 2-1. Sorry, wow. that doesn't help your bet. I'll say okay. I'll go Aston Villa 2-1. Sorry, Aston Villa 2-1.
I think that's the only way we get this.
Yeah. I think that's in play. That's what it was last game. I think it'll be 1-1. We'll get Ollie Watkins off the counter in like the 93rd minute.
You mentioned that the Villa attack is kind of like, you know, maybe in up in the air. Ollie Watkins is a second leading goal scorer in the Premier League this season. That's 16 goals. I mean, I'm not looking past that guy.
I'm just saying recently.
Okay.
I just don't think that the players around him are what they were. Yeah. And like Nottingham Forest, Luton Town, good. Score goals against those teams. They had four shots against Ajax. Those teams combined for 8 shots. I know that means nothing, but just a weirdly Unai Emery defensive match in that one.
Yeah.
You just remove the games against the worst teams in the league, the Nottingham Forest, the Sheffield Uniteds, and two goals at Fulham, one goal against Manchester United, one goal against Chelsea, one goal against Newcastle, held scoreless by Chelsea in the FA Cup, held scoreless by Everton, one goal at Middlesbrough in the FA Cup, and then we're back to Burnley. So, you know, numbers back me up here. What do you know?
Yeah, especially when you remove games and results.
When you remove games against the worst teams.
That's fair.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, we got to get to the game.
We got to get it. All right. I can sit here all day, but
Liverpool are home against Manchester City, +195 to win. They were +170 about 2 weeks ago. Now they're +195. Manchester City +130 to win. The draw is +280. Over 3.5 goals, +130. Under 3.5 goals, -165. Injury wise, so we know we got the usuals out for Liverpool. Alisson, TAA still out. Konate picked up some groin issue on Thursday. I think he's going to be okay. But Salah came off the bench. I think he played 17 minutes or something like that on Thursday.
18 minutes.
He might be ready to start. This is a few days later. He's been training for about a week now. So that'll be something obviously that we'll need monitoring here. So those are the main things. I don't have Connor Bradley in the expected 11. Got Joe Gomez at right back, but could be Connor Bradley. Joe Gomez has played basically every position outside of forward for Liverpool this season. But that's over there. Manchester City, Doku had an issue. I think that's the main issue. But really, you know, this Manchester City lineup is so deep. Doku started on the left wing last week. Julian Alvarez started on the left wing. In Champions League play against Copenhagen, I got him projected to start there in this one. So what do we got? This is the game here. If Manchester City win, they are in a great position to win the league. If Liverpool win, they're also in a pretty good position. If it's a draw, then, you know, we just keep moving forward. So what do you think?
Yeah, the earlier game this season was 1-1, I believe, at the Etihad. Yeah, interesting. You didn't mention this, but Soboslai came off the bench against Sparta Prague on Thursday. And
I think he did last weekend too.
Did he? I thought he can't. You started training last week and then came off
14 minutes against Nottingham Forest.
Okay, so he's ready to start. Is the big point here, which kind of gives Liverpool their best midfield. They had been, you know, you mentioned Joey Gomez had played in the middle of the park as well, and that's probably not ideal in against a team like City.
Do you think Endo still starts?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, him playing as a six and moving McAllister up to be more attacking is really unlocked McAllister. I mean, he had the assist for the late winner last weekend. He had a couple of assists, or at least one assist against on Thursday. So yeah, him moving to higher up the pitch is definitely a good move. And Endo's looked pretty good. He's been probably the bargain purchase, at least for this Liverpool side. Yeah, no bigger game than this, man. By the time Sunday kicks off, I will have gone insane, perhaps. But I think the first thing that I looked at here is like, what can we get Erling Haaland anytime at? Because you know, most matches you got to go to 2+ goals for Haaland. He's sitting right at as of last night, even odds +100. He's only got 2 games against Liverpool, but he scored in one of those. He scored, I guess, in 3 of his past 4 matches, I want to say. So you're getting plus odds there. That's an interesting bet. And then the 2 other anytime bets that I love are Darwin Nunez, who's been pretty electric as of late. I think he's got, he scored 2 on Thursday, 1 off the bench against Forest last weekend. He did miss the Luton Town match, but he had scored against Brentford and Burnley prior to that. So he's in pretty good form right now. He's +185. I messaged that to Adam earlier in the week. I was like, I might have to bang a Darwin Nunez anytime goal. I'm not going to do that. And then you mentioned Salah. He's got 11 goals and 19 appearances against City throughout his stay at Liverpool. He's +130. So those are three interesting anytime goal bets. But other than that, I mean, the usual suspects kind of hung out to me here. The Liverpool money line at home against City +195. They've lost in the Premier League. They've lost 1 match to City at Anfield, and that was with no fans in the stadium in 2021. So they don't typically drop. They might draw, you know, have a draw, but they don't typically lose to City at home. And other than that, I mean, there was one other fun bet that I sent last night, but I don't have the gumption to take it, and that's Ouattara Endo, yellow card. I was +235 last night. I think there's just a good chance that City hit him on the counter. He has to take down Bernardo Silva one-on-one to stop Haaland going through. So I think there's a scenario where that could be a really fun bet. But outside of that, I think I'm taking Liverpool over 1.5 goals at +105. I think they can find the back of the net twice here. These are always cagey affairs. They're, you know, sometimes we see goals, sometimes we don't. Earlier in the season, it was 1-1. City has kind of won the prior 2 matches, 4-1 and 3-2. Last season, Liverpool won 1-0 at home. So I'm weary, but we've seen 2 ends of the spectrum where it's not a ton of goals and then also like some pretty fun games, 4-1, 3-2, 2-2 type of games. I think Liverpool finds the back of the net twice. They're starting to get a little healthy, and the return of Soboslai in the midfield definitely helps them a bit. And if you're, you know, in the City camp, the money line bet is an interesting one too. You're never going to get money line odds like that for a City game for +130. So worth it. A thought there, but I'm on the over 1.5 goals here for Liverpool.
Over 1.5 goals for Liverpool. Yeah. I gave you 3 options for my bet in this one, and I'm still not certain of how I think this is going to go. You mentioned, you know, these are always cagey affairs. And one of my leans was the under 2.5. Or is it under 3.5? No, it was under 2.5.
Yeah.
You just said you can't take any Liverpool under, especially when it could be Konsa starting at center back. It could be Joe Gomez starting at center back. So with some questions there, I will not take under 2.5 goals. And because whenever we talk these games, at least last year, it was always a situation of why don't we just take over 3.5 goals? There's always goals in these games. And now I'm just going in the complete opposite way. So I'm not going to do that. The other option for me was to draw at +280, which I think is still, like this because this is a game where, you know, if Liverpool score first or Manchester City scored first, the other team's probably going to get one back. That's just what seems to happen between these teams. And if it's 1-1, 2-2, 70, 80th minute or something like that, I think that these teams might just call it, play it a little safer. Not call it, but play it a little safer.
They're going to walk off the pitch at an 80th minute draw.
They'll play it safer. And be like, okay, we got a point. That's what we needed. We don't want to lose here. We don't want to give the other team 3 points and kind of make this and fall out of the race kind of a thing. So I do like the draw at +280, but instead going over 10.5 corners and +100. You know, these cagey affairs don't tend to have a lot of corners because a lot of the game is played kind of in the middle of the pitch, not in the final thirds. But I do think we'll get corner opportunities. We'll get Manchester City will probably have a decent amount of possession. They'll get corners, whether, you know, in the attacking third, a decent amount. I still think that they're playing well enough. I think they're at just about 100% that I still think they're going to have the edge in terms of possession, in terms of how this match goes. So I think they'll get corners. But on the other side of that, Liverpool are also playing really well, and they're going to get out in the counter. They're going to do what they want to do. And I think both these teams can get corners. And we're getting +100 at over 10.5 corners. I think it's decent value. Again, this is +100 at over 10.5, mainly because neither one of these teams allow corners. They're both probably top three in terms of corners allowed, which makes sense. You know, when you're playing bottom 17 teams in the table, you don't allow corners. But when you're playing, you got the top two, top three teams here, you know, those defensive corner stats, I kind of throw out the window. So let's do over 10.5 corners at +100. Chris has over Liverpool over 1.5 goals at +105. So what is your final goal prediction?
2-1 Liverpool.
2-1.
So Erling Haaland to score the first goal within like first 30 minutes. I think they go. I was trying to find that better, but I couldn't find the City first goal. And then I think they bounce back. But oh yeah, you mentioned the +280 draw. That's pretty tantalizing.
Do you want to put a single game parlay together with Haaland first goal scored and Liverpool win?
That's got to be like, what's a Haaland first goal scored? It's got to be like +400.
+400. Liverpool to win. +2,500.
Nice. Yeah, you probably get the come from behind. You could do this. You could do the City first half, Liverpool second half. Bet two.
Oh, the money lines? Yeah. You could throw a first half money line in. +6,500.
That's just where I see this game going. I think City come out early. Liverpool love giving up a goal right away in the first half. And then they usually try to – Klopp's pretty good at the adjustments at the at halftime. And so I see them kind of like digging in the second half, but definitely like this could be a bit of a sideshow here in the first half.
All right, Haaland first goal scorer, Liverpool money line, Manchester City first half money line, +6,500. That is Chris's bet of the week.
Off the dome bet of the week. There we go.
Speaking of Chris, fresh off a 4-0 weekend on Kits and Wagers, we went 7-1. I'm still upset about the Manchester City first half money line, stupid single game parlay I did against Manchester United. That was the only loss we had last week. We were combined 7-1. Chris has been on a decent run. If I pull up the numbers.
Let's call it a heater. I think we can call it a heater.
Let's see. We got four. You are 8-2 in your last 10. Is that a heater? It's close enough.
I think I'm 13-3 in my last couple of shows. Maybe the math doesn't work out there.
No, that math does not work out.
Last four episodes, 4 times 4.
You're 9-3 in your last 12.
Okay.
I am not as good, so.
Anyways, not to the laurels here, but we did hit our parlay last week. That was electric. Every time we do that, it was a +339.
That's right. So what I was getting to, the team parlay, I conveniently had the final game of the game week in the team parlay. It was Arsenal home against Sheffield United. And, you know, as I always say, with corner bets, like, you don't want a team scoring 5 goals in the first half because they don't need to push. They don't need to push. They don't need to pressure. And then Arsenal, they went out. I think they scored 3 goals in the first 15 minutes. And I pretty much gave up. I was like, there's no chance it's going to hit. I had Arsenal. It was -2.25 corners in the first half against Sheffield United. And I think it hit in stoppage time. I actually didn't even watch the end of the first half, but Arsenal got the third corner. Sheffield United had 0 corners in the first half, and our team parlay hit somehow that bet hit. That's just a corner bet for you. Maybe it looks like you're down and out, but something happens in the final in stoppage time. And you get a random corner, even though the game is, I don't know if it was 5-0 at halftime, something like that. But, we're going back to back here in the team parlay. So you're actually going with the Arsenal match. So tell us about Arsenal here.
Yes. Arsenal on an absolute heater. They've been just kind of demolishing teams as of late. They have taken, 6-0 against Sheffield United, 4-1 against Newcastle, 5-0 Burnley, 6-0 West Ham, 3-1 Liverpool. They've been racking it up. They've been just scoring goals at an absolutely rampant pace. They got Brentford at home this weekend. They're going to be juiced up. They see Liverpool and City playing on Sunday. They're like, all right, we're going to go top and we're going to get this and we're going to hold it. I was back and forth here on the over 3.5 in that match, which is +115. I ended up settling on the Arsenal -120, over 2.5 goals. I think Liverpool or Arsenal, again, are going to find the back of the net. Brentford, they've been giving up a couple goals too. They gave up 4 to Liverpool, 4 to West Ham. They lost 4-2 to West Ham. Gave up 2 to Chelsea too. I think Arsenal are in like – it's tough to match City at the end of the season as City kind of go on their like their long procession of winning games, but Arsenal are like looking like they might do that right now. I like them to score. Maybe this is a 3-0, maybe it's a 3-1. I don't know. I think they score 3 goals here. And what did I say? It was -120 as I looked last night.
Yeah, -120. Yeah, I like that one too. Arsenal playing well. They got Porto coming up, but I don't really think that matters. I don't think they're actually going to rotate. I think everyone's pretty healthy as well. Martinelli got a cut to his foot or something last weekend. I think he's fine, but they have this Havertz lineup with Jorginho in the midfield, which it allows Declan Rice to move a little more forward, almost kind of like Liverpool with Endo and then moving McAllister a little more forward. Similar to that to an extent. But that's been going really well for them. They basically did that following the loss to Porto, and I assume they're going to keep doing that. And then Brentford, they have a bunch of injuries. They got Christopher Ajer, Zanka, and Nathan Collins on the back line. They don't have their best two center backs in Mee and Pinnock, and then obviously their best fullbacks either. So yeah. I like that one. Arsenal over 2.5 goals, -120. I am going Manchester United instead of the last game of the week. I did consider going the last game, this Chelsea-Newcastle one, but that bet is actually in the article that I am about to publish on Friday. Instead, I got the under 2.5 goals. So, you know, the theme is this is going to be the most goals scored in the Premier League ever. I'm going with a lot of unders here. I'm going against the grain. This is the time when this is the game week when the unders hit. We gotta go back to the mean. And we got under 2.5 goals, +120 for Manchester United, Everton. So we have Everton, what are they, top 5 in XG score, but bottom 5 in terms of goals scored. They get a lot of shots. They have trouble scoring. Beto missed a PK last week. I actually had Everton, West Ham under 2.5 goals last week, but Everton's defense failed me a little bit there. They're going to sit back a bunch in this one. I think Manchester United without Hoyland will continue to struggle to score. And I think we're getting under 2.5 goals here. I think Maybe there's going to be a lot of shots from outside the box, but I don't think there's going to be great opportunities for either team. I think this will be just a kind of an ugly one where neither team really gets going. Granted, Manchester United always in play to surprise everyone and win 3-0, which they did the last time they played at Everton. But either way, under 2.5 goals plus 120 between Manchester United and Everton. Chris has Arsenal over 2.5 goals. Home against Brentford at minus 120. That is plus 303 odds. Get this one, and we're getting very close to even, Chris. So it's been a long season. I think we went 10 straight without a win in the team parlay. But, you know, business end of the season, we're getting back to above $0.
Well, I remember this is how it went last year too. We kind of, where there was like a midpoint of the season, we're like, wow, what's going on here, fellas? And then, we turned it around at the end of the season, and both personally and in the parlay. So I'm into this one. I didn't like the fact that you said this is the week that all the unders hit, because I have four overs bets. So I'm not super into that. I'm going to be honest with you, but let's hope that doesn't happen.
Well, the unders will hit on my bets at least. That's what we know for certain.
The 2-1 that we have on the Villa bet.
Yeah, our records aren't as bad as so the team parlay is 5-20 combined overall, but I'm 11-13-1. Chris is 10-15. So the records on the team parlay aren't as bad. But Chris, what else we got for game week 28? We got a double game week with Bournemouth home against Luton Town. Anything else stand out? Burnley at West Ham. Nothing really stands out, if I'm being honest. Chelsea home against Newcastle is Monday night.
It's a nice lunchtime Monday game to get into, I think.
Yeah, that'll be Monday. So then we're back with more Champions League. But we got the Oscars on Sunday. I was going to bring up some odds, but we got Oppenheimer is sitting at minus 5,000 to win Best Picture. So really, it's not much of a discussion here because a lot of the Oscars are just a bunch of favorites. So I guess I'll ask you, you've seen Oppenheimer. Mm-hmm. You like Oppenheimer. What other movie here? I guess we didn't really plan this here, but
the only one I'm looking at the Best Picture list here. The only other one that I saw was Barbie. I saw that in theaters as well. I haven't seen
you Killers were a part of Barbenheimer. Yeah. You didn't watch anything else. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, there Barbie was, you know, pretty solid. It was, but yeah, Killers of the Flower Moon is probably the other one that I'd like to see. I usually like the documentaries a bit, but yeah, it's tough to bet on these Oscars when you said minus 5,000. Like, that's crazy. It seems like a absolute shoo-in. Did see Dune 2, which is not, will obviously be on next year's Best Picture list. That's one we're going to get our bets in now.
Actually, I did have one question for you, Chris. Why couldn't Seattle score in their home opener?
Because I last minute refused to go because it was too cold. So they knew I wasn't in attendance.
You didn't go?
It was like 40 degrees and raining. I was, you know, I'm not wearing that on a Saturday night.
40 degrees and raining? Aren't you from Wisconsin? That's like every day.
I would rather have it be snow than rain.
Man, I had my single game parlay. I think I posted it, but I had Seattle over corners in the first half. I think I also had Seattle over 1.5 goals with the money line, something like that. Obviously, it didn't hit, but the corners hit for Seattle. I think they finished with like 9 or something. But just a disappointment. I think I woke up and I was like, "What? Seattle didn't score? Come on, Chris." Yeah. So I'm gonna blame you on that one.
Well, blame 40 degrees and rainy. I mean, that's just February in Seattle. So
that's what it is probably currently in Michigan right now. So I'm not gonna blame Seattle. That's harsh. But you can find Chris at CHROwen8 on Twitter. I'm at RotoZadroik. Also follow RotoWire Soccer on Twitter or RotoWire Soccer on YouTube. Make sure to like, subscribe to this video, all videos to the channel. RotoWire.com/soccer trial, 48-hour trial. To check out everything that RotoWire has to offer. Here's the cheat sheet for this weekend. Reminder, we got the double game week here. And this is Wednesday for Bournemouth home against Luton Town. This is the rescheduled game from when Tom Lockyer went down earlier in the season. But there's a bunch of stuff going on. Then we do have game week 29, and then it's the international break. So we have one more week before a little bit of a break for us, and then we'll be back for the real business end of the season. Thank you, Chris. Let's go 8-0 this weekend. Good luck on your bets, and we'll see everyone next week.
Thanks, Adam.